Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is just hilarious. The Missoula City Council, they've only got like one or two common sense people on the Missoula City Council, and the rest of them are so far off the deep end, they could be Democrat candidates for mayor of New York City. That's how crazy the Missoula City Council is. Surprise. The Missoula City Council wants to raise taxes on working families again. And you got to stress again, because look at what they have already done to the good people of Missoula. You know, the good people of Missoula that unfortunately are not the majority of the voters in Missoula, yet they get stuck with massive tax increases. When you look at the Democrat-run city council, the Democrat-run county commission in Missoula, what was it, 20%? Was it 24%? It's around 20% just in the last couple of years they have increased taxes on the people of Missoula. And so, whoa, big surprise here. This was the headline from KPAX TV last night. Missoula City Council opposes big, beautiful bill. You just have to laugh. Well, I guess if the Missoula City Council comes up against the one big, beautiful bill, okay, all right, you've got my hands are tied behind my back. Okay, I guess we'll stop supporting no tax on tips. I guess we'll allow a massive tax hike to hit hard working families all across Montana. I mean, what a joke the Missoula City Council is. Speaking of the one big beautiful bill, we got that Senator Steve Daines's take on this. Had a good laugh with Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning, right before he hopped into Montana Coffee back on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. We'll share that audio for you coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But speaking of the one big beautiful bill, I see the White House put together a nice little ad on X highlighting one big beautiful bill.
No tax on tips, no tax on overtime.
Cash now?
With our tax bill, the average family's take home pay will be at least $5,000 more than it was just a couple of months ago.
That's right. It's my money and I need it now.
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 If you're tired of seeing your hard-earned money drained by government taxes and want to keep more of what you make, the Trump administration can help. The Big Beautiful Bill puts your money back where it belongs, in your pocket.
All right, anyway, it goes on. It's funny. It's funnier when you watch the video versus just hearing it. But, you know, it's interesting. If you are a waiter or a waitress serving the so-called public servants on the Missoula City Council, how do you feel about them already raising your taxes by nearly 20% in Missoula City and County? And then now they want you to not only get taxed on your tips, but they want you to face a major tax hike on top of all that. How would you feel?
It's June 25th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Take Your Dog to Work Day. But before you go, please check with your employer so your boss doesn't growl at you. This event started back in 1999 to celebrate companion dogs and to encourage adoptions. The Korean War begins in 1950 when the Communist North smashed into the South. Also on this day in 1989, the first U.S. postmark dedicated to lesbian and gay pride is released by the U.S. Postal Service. In 2009, Michael Jackson, the king of pop, dies at the age of 50. Conrad Murray, his personal physician, was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in 2011. He was released from prison in 2013. Actress Farrah Fawcett, who shot to stardom as private investigator Jill Monroe on the famed TV show Charlie's Angels, dies on this day in 2009 of cancer at 62. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. We've got the phone lines open, and it's another one of those days where there is just too much to talk about. So why don't you tell us? You tell me, kind of like those great auctioneers. You tell me, what do you think we should be talking about? Give us a ring, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see. This is one big story that I think is big for Montana as well. Senator Steve Daines and I talked about this one earlier also. But, you know, given everything in the news right now, this big news kind of got buried in the news. I know our friends in Western Montana know exactly what we're talking about, though, when we mention the roadless rule. You know, I've talked about this on the show before. How do we make our timber industry great again? How do we make our so-called public lands public again? Maybe we should make a T-shirt that says, make our public lands public again, because the Democrats and their fake, phony, green decoy environmental groups that call themselves outdoor groups or sportsman groups, really, they are the ones that want to take away your access to so-called public lands. But yet they're the ones that shriek and shrill, public lands in public hands. And I'm like, wait a minute, you were the same people that just shut down the trail. You just shut down the road. You just shut down access. You don't get to come show up and pretend to be the ones protecting public access to public lands. Because you're the people always shutting it down. I mean, remember like the backcountry hunters and anglers, which I think, you know, they've got people trying to move that organization in a better direction. They were trying to block access to Flathead Lake for motorboats. They didn't even want you to be able to drive your boat along the river to get to Flathead Lake. Yet these people claim to be champions for access. Give me a break. But yeah, this was the big news. I saw both Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy were talking about this one on X yesterday. Senator Steve Daines calls it a huge win for Montana, forest management, and wildfire mitigation. Thanks to the Trump administration and the USDA for being committed to Montana First priorities. Here's the headline from a U.S. Department of Agriculture press release. Secretary Rollins rescinds the roadless rule, eliminating impediment to responsible forest management. You know, we had this conversation just a few months ago at the MACRS convention, the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors. And, you know, we were talking about how a lot of the infrastructure in Western Montana right now, we're losing a lot of that infrastructure because who built the infrastructure? The timber industry. Who built some of these great access roads that many of you use to get to your favorite hunting spot? Or just to go drive and see some incredible scenery. Or to get closer to your favorite hiking trail. It was the timber industry that built it. So when the Democrats and their liberal federal judges kill the timber industry, in a lot of ways, they killed your access as well. And then, of course, you had Bill Clinton and the roadless initiative to take away more access and to take away the ability to fight these fires. And it was also about they wanted to destroy the timber industry and make us dependent on other countries for these types of products. But, yeah, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins announced during a meeting of the Western Governors Association in New Mexico that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is rescinding the 2001 roadless rule. Quote, this outdated administrative rule contradicts the will of Congress and goes against the mandate of the USDA Forest Service to sustain the health, diversity, and productivity of the nation's forests and grasslands. Rescinding this rule will remove prohibitions on road construction, reconstruction, and timber harvest on nearly 59 million acres of the national forest system, allowing for fire prevention and responsible timber production. But I would also add that this also helps to improve access as well, especially for, you know, the story that I've told on the radio before is, you know, 1 year we did our radio show live from Libby. And just like right now where we take phone calls from folks all across Montana, typically when I show up in a town, we set up our equipment. I have microphones there. We'll invite some guests down, but we invite anybody down. Anybody can jump behind the microphone. And I'll never forget this lady. She had on the old desert camouflage jacket that looked like the desert camouflage I wore in Iraq. And she hopped up to the microphone and I said, hey, what do you want to talk about? And she says, well, I want to talk about these, you know, these roads that are getting shut down. And she says, I'm a disabled veteran. So I can't really hike and haul a pack and then haul an animal out like I used to be able to do. So she says, they're shutting down these roads to some of my favorite hunting spots, making it harder for me as a disabled veteran to get access. And that's what they do, these people who claim to be the champions of access. The only time they care about access is if they're demanding access on private land while they shut down access on so-called public land. That's why my Uncle Monty, my late Uncle Monty, who is a great Eastern Montana rancher, one of his rants, which was a good one, he said, hey, tell them to stop calling it public land. It's government land. If it was public land, you'd have access to it. But since the government constantly wants to deny you access to it, how can you call it public land? It's government land.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us have lived through the huge changes in the way we get news and information. Where we once read the back of cereal boxes at breakfast, we now thumb our way through comics on our smartphones. And while the national audiences for some news channels has dropped below 1 million, the hits and views on podcasts and online platforms have never been higher. The business model for what is now called legacy news media has changed as well. Once those places got most of their money from large advertisers who craved their audiences. Now many of those organizations have turned to subscribers to remain financially viable. These changes have had more impact on the content than you might appreciate. The need to get approval from your subscribers for your content or to avoid alienating those who pay the bills helps to explain the slants on coverage that are all around us. And the respect for those who service that content, currently just 28% of Americans say that journalism benefits society, has taken a hit as well. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Many people have lots of credit cards, while some just have a few. So what is a good amount to have? Well, having two credit cards from different lenders gives you flexibility. Americans on average have close to four credit cards as of the third quarter of 2023, according to Credit Bureau Experian. Credit Bureau suggests that five or more accounts, which can be a mix of cards and loans, is a reasonable number to build toward over time. Having too few credit cards can often come with potential risk or limitations. Especially when it comes to your credit score. Some questions you can ask yourself when determining what's the right amount for you. Am I able to manage and pay all my bills on time each month? How do my credit card perks and rewards stack up to my spending habits? Are the annual fees worth the benefits? And are my cards diversified enough to cover different needs or emergencies? But remember, the most important thing to focus on is your spending habits and paying your cards on time. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News. Are you?
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I see a tweet here from KJJR Radio in the Flathead Valley. More winning, log baby log. That's what KJJR tweeted out. The same news story that I've been talking about here. Secretary Rollins rescinds the roadless rule. So it's not just great for our timber industry and making the timber industry great again. It's great. It's about making firefighting great again as well in the West, right? That was a point that Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy made, who, of course, is an aerial firefighter, started an incredible aerial firefighting business in the Bozeman area. But he highlighted the fact that this also makes it easier to better fight these fires on federal lands, or that start on federal lands and then can quickly burn out of control. So many good things about this move. But again, I think it also needs to be emphasized that this is also about access, because the folks on the left always like to put out this fake phony virtue signaling that they care about access to so-called public lands, when they are the ones that are constantly trying to deny you access to so-called public lands. Now let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, always good to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts this morning are this here about the federal state land and BLM land. Now, a few years back in the 60s, West Yellowstone petitioned the federal government for some land, and the federal government granted it to the city of West Yellowstone. Now, you can look that up. And I don't remember if it was 100 acres or 160, but they did that. But there's one thing that everybody should know. When we fought England in the Revolutionary War, when we won the war, the lands in America was paid for by human blood, the people of our country, and some of France. So when we have federal lands and state lands and BLM lands, people must remember what happened in the beginning. That was all, that land was for the people of America. And then later on, the federal government come in and took it up. They give so much to the states, so much in BLM land, and so much in forest. And anybody that uses that land nowadays, cattlemen, timber people, all pay a fee to the federal government for the use of that land. But mark my word, the land in America, now Trump said that the federal lands in America was worth $252 trillion. But the land in America belonged to the people themselves, not the federal government, not the state government, and not the county or anything else. We fought and died for it in the Revolutionary War. So I want people to remember that. The government is what divided the lands up, federal, state, and BLM.
That story you shared about West Yellowstone, it reminds me of something that's happening down, I think it's in Vail, Colorado. It's somewhere down in Colorado, but the Democrats have actually supported that sale of federal land. It was basically they needed some housing for the workers that work at the resort. So the feds actually sold some of that federal land so that they could have more housing in the resort communities.
That's right.
And so it sounds like that's happened in West Yellowstone before.
That happened in West Yellowstone.
Yeah,
yes,
not surprising. Yeah, because that's the other debate here is like, okay, well, what about tiny parcels and transfers? Because I mean, heck, even when Democrat Governor Steve Bullock was governor, he sold off so-called public lands. And so it's just funny that these guys will sit here and, oh, the Republicans are going to sell public lands. And it's like the Democrats sold so-called public lands. And so
right.
But they hate it when you call them out on it, too. They just absolutely despise it when you call them out on it.
Well, like I said, Aaron, the land is for the people. We fought and died for land, and whatever the cities decide to do in the counties and ask for federal land or state land or whatever, then it's to be debated and decided, depending on what the circumstances are. But we in America, like I said, we fought and died for this country.
That's right. All right. Well, Clint, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Appreciate it. And thanks to all who have served. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. There was a couple of interesting kind of ag-related stories that came out yesterday. And like I say, with so much in the news, you really got to be looking for these hidden gems here. I mentioned, you know, Secretary Rollins rescinding the roadless rule. That is great news on a number of fronts. The other thing is the cattle industry weighing in with support for the one big, beautiful bill. Although, I don't know. I mean, let's see. You have ranchers and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association backing the one big, beautiful bill. All right. But then you've got the Missoula City Council opposing the one big, beautiful bill. Makes for a tough decision there. Who do we go with? Do we side with Montana ranchers, or do we side with the New York City? I mean, the Missoula City Council. Yeah, pretty easy answer on that one, isn't it? Let's see. I see a couple phone lines lighting up. Hopefully, yeah, Caden's in there. Okay, good. Yeah, Caden's in there checking our phone lines right now. So, yeah, give us a ring, 294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. But, yeah, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and then, of course, their state affiliates, which you've got the Montana Stock Growers Association here in Montana, they sent a letter, I think this would have been, yeah, last night, to Senate Majority Leader John Thune, Senate Majority Whip John Barrasso, and Senate Finance Committee Chairman Mike Crapo, urging passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill. Here's some of the key excerpts from that letter. So again, the Missoula City Council says don't pass the one big beautiful bill because the Missoula City Council loves to tax the ever-loving you-know-what out of people, which is exactly what would be what would happen if the one big beautiful bill does not pass. But here's what America's ranchers have to say. Renewing the expiring 2017 tax policies is essential for the success of our family-owned cattle operations and bolstering producer profitability across rural America. Time is of the essence, and we encourage swift passage of the tax package. Here's another excerpt. We are very supportive of the proposed increase in the estate and gift tax exemption of $15 million. The estate tax, or death tax, is one of the greatest threats to multi-generational cattle operations. Cattle producers are asset-rich and cash-poor, and families are often forced to sell off part of their land or livestock to pay the estate tax. Taking land and livestock out of production significantly hurts producer profitability. And then another excerpt here, family-owned cattle operations are a major economic driver across rural America, but they need a tax code that rewards their entrepreneurial spirit and encourages the continuation of multi-generational small businesses. To me, this also ties back in with access and land. What do we love in Montana? We love our open space, right? We live in big sky country. That's why a lot of our friends in eastern Montana are opposing these massive wind power projects with turbines taller than the building I'm standing in right now. We're on the 23rd floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings right now. And that's not even the tallest building in Billings. These wind power projects that they're trying to do in eastern Montana, as Rick Holden told us, would be taller than the tallest building in the entire state of Montana. Even taller than the building I'm on right now. Which is crazy when you think about that. But back to this whole land thing. Again, let's just look. Since Clint called in from Bozeman, let's just look at Bozeman alone. By the way, driving from Bozeman to Big Sky yesterday, it's so great still seeing all that beautiful farmland south of Bozeman. And Randy Newberg and I had this conversation. You know, Randy Newberg has an outdoor show, YouTube, podcast, things like that. And he is real big on protecting public lands. And as Randy Newberg and I were talking, it's like, okay, so, you know, you can see it right there in Bozeman. Okay, so the liberal city of Bozeman makes it harder to build inside the city limits. So what does that do? It puts more pressure on for people to build outside of the city limits, to potentially acquire farmland to build, to potentially acquire wildlife habitat to build. So the Democrats make it harder to build in the cities, and then as a result, there's more pressure to build out where the other access is, right? Follow me for just another second here. Then simultaneously, Democrats like the Missoula City Council, the same places where they make it harder to build in the city limit and then tear up more farmland or tear up more habitat, they oppose things like the One Big Beautiful Bill that would help farmers and ranchers keep that land in production and preserve it as open space and preserve it as agricultural land. And yet these frauds and these phonies and these virtue signalers pretend that they're the ones who care about the environment, pretend that they're the ones that care about public lands and public hands and open space, and they're full of it. They are completely full of it. And some of their leading candidates that the Democrats are the main people that are trying to take away your access to so-called public lands. We'll go to Steve in Belgrade right after this. Steve, look forward to hearing what you have to say. Stand by. You'll be first up right after the break. We've got phone lines open for you right now as well, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. All right, back after this. I'll check the app messages right now, too.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. House Republicans will be silent no longer when it comes to silencers. The House already passed its version of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill, which is mainly seen as a grand-scale tax and budget package. But it contains a provision to remove so-called silencers, meaning suppressors, from the list of restricted firearms as per the National Firearms Act. Suppressors themselves are not firearms, but they've been included on the list, making them difficult and expensive for people to obtain, requiring a tax stamp worth hundreds of dollars and an advanced background check similar to when people buy an automatic firearm. Second Amendment advocates want the restriction lifted, saying the devices are intended to protect shooters' hearing. Now Senate Democrats are fighting to keep the provision in their version of the bill, but the Republicans in the Senate also want to see the restriction removed. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Wesley.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got some great messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. Let's see, Chuck in Billings, with regard to the conversation about the successful strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites, and now you got the fake news, CNN and MSNBC, trying to downplay the significance of these strikes. And they're not just trying to undermine President Trump, but they're also trying to undermine our great United States military in the process with these deep state operatives and their fake phony leaks and all that stuff. But Chuck says this: the previous administration tried really hard to sow division amongst the ranks. It tried vigorously to reduce our fighting readiness in the name of inclusion. Midnight Hammer, that's the name of the operation that took place Saturday night, is proof positive that their efforts had little to no effect on the core of how service members do their job. Yeah, Chuck, I don't know if you saw it. There was a funny post on X. I don't even know who tweeted it out. I bet John Jackson probably tweeted it out at some point. If he hasn't, he'll find it and then share it here. But it was like a side-by-side photo. One photo was, aren't you glad that these people are in charge? And it had, you know, General Raisin Kane, President Trump, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, SecDef Pete Hegseth. And then it said, aren't you glad that these people are in charge instead of these people? And then it was a photograph of all the radical transgender virtue signaling folks that they got very quickly promoted in the previous administration, by the way. Sam and Kalispell sent us a great message as well. Sam says, I am a proud member of Earth First. We'll log the other planets later. Sam, thanks for the message. Let's see. Lee in Big Fork talking about ranch farmers and ranchers and the death tax. Lee says this, the death tax is evil. Steve in Belgrade, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, I wanted to continue with kind of what Clint was talking about and what's gone on in our country. When we set this country up, there was no Federal Reserve. I'm talking about the money changers. And our founders warned us, if we ever allowed the international bankers to control the currency and credit, your children would wind up slaves the continent their forefathers fought and died for. We did, and we are. We don't own anything in America. And the so-called public lands are only collateral for our national debt. And we keep getting involved in all these foreign entanglements, which creates more debt. And these eight families that own the Federal Reserve are wanting more and more collateral.
So do you see the strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites? Do you see that as another foreign entanglement? I guess I see that as an end to foreign entanglements, or an attempt to end all these foreign entanglements. But how do you see it?
Well, I think Aaron, if we hadn't been, if we hadn't been involved in all these things. I mean, we were not, the founders warned us, do not leave the confines of our country. But what do? We get involved in all these foreign wars, World War One, World War Two, all created by those bankers. And then...
So you just blame the bankers for everything. I think there's obviously a lot more complexity to that. But with regard to the Federal Reserve, something that you said there, Steve. Steve, thanks for the call. Something that you said about the Federal Reserve stood out to me. And of course, the bigger picture point, you know, Steve's point about, you know, avoiding foreign entanglements. I mean, President George Washington, in his first address as president, if I'm not mistaken, that's specifically what he mentioned, was, you know, cautioning against getting involved in all these foreign entanglements. But I see President Trump trying to get us out of all these foreign entanglements, not as getting into more. But look, if a suicidal radical Islamic terrorist regime like Tehran, like who's in charge in Tehran right now, got their hands on a nuclear weapon, you want to talk about foreign entanglements? That's a foreign entanglement you do not want to be in. And that's why I think most Americans agree that President Trump did the exact right thing here. But something Steve said about the Federal Reserve, you know, yesterday on the show, speaking of banks, too, by the way, wasn't it interesting? I did a write-up. If you missed our show yesterday, I don't know if Steve caught it, but if you missed our show yesterday, we had the president of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners on the show. And I was asking about how all of the international interference in our domestic insurance markets, and how now the Europeans are trying to force us to do some things because of their control of the insurance, of key, you know, big portions of the insurance business. And the president of the NAIC, who's North Dakota's insurance commissioner, he said that America owns 50%, that we make up 50% of the insurance markets. But so many of the Europeans own these insurance companies. And so they're trying to enforce this European banking style system on the American insurance markets. And that's what they're standing up as insurance commissioners to try to stop, to bring a stop to. So I thought that was interesting. But another thing here, when it comes to the Federal Reserve, so it was Vice President J.D. Vance. He was calling out Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. J.D. Vance said this last night. He says, I'd love to hear an argument for why Powell cut interest rates 50 points right before an election, but can't do it now with inflation lower. And to me, this is just so typical of the way the deep state operates. Oh, even though Trump has fixed the economy and tamed inflation, no, we're going to keep interest rates higher. We're going to keep the pain. We're going to make it. We're going to try to do what we can to undermine the United States of America because they want to undermine Donald Trump. Same thing with these deep state fake phony leakers and then CNN and MSNBC running with it. They want to undermine President Trump, so they're willing to undermine the United States of America. They want all of America's enemies to think that our bunker busters don't work. Because they refuse to hand a victory, a well-deserved victory, to President Donald J. Trump. So they're willing to throw the entire country and our national security under the bus, all because they want to undermine Donald Trump. It's just like, you know, talking about the Middle East, for example. It's just like, I mean, Donald Trump had us on a path to peace in the Middle East when he was first president of the United States, with these historic peace agreement between Israel and all these Arab countries. And what did Joe Biden and CNN and the liberal media do and the Democrats do? They had to undermine the U.S. relationship with Saudi's crown prince. They had to undermine these peace deals because, see, Donald Trump was doing a really good thing. And they couldn't have Donald Trump do a really good thing because they wanted nothing more than to get Donald J. Trump out of the White House. And so no matter how much good Donald J. Trump was delivering, they had to undermine it, even if it meant undermining American national security in the process, just because they wanted to get Trump. They would rather be in charge of a sinking ship than to be the bosun's mate on the most incredible vessel ever to sail. They just want the power. They just want to be in charge. They don't care how much harm is caused in the process. In the same regard, they don't care how much good Donald J. Trump does, how much good he delivers. They want him stopped, and they want to undermine him. But, yes, somebody had a great point about, in response to that post by, I've gotten buried. I've had so many notifications come in here. Somebody made a great point about the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, and why he won't. Yeah, well, let's see. Sean Teagarden says, political hack, that's why. Yeah, that's one angle. There was another really good post here in response to what I shared. But, well, anyway, too much coming in this morning. 406-294-0970. What do you want to talk about? Give us a ring right now. We've got the phone lines open for you. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, I will play part of my conversation from earlier this morning with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines, talking about the strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites, talking about the repeal of the Roadless Initiative. And then what else? Oh, yeah, and then his hilarious response to the Missoula City Council voting against the One Big Beautiful Bill. Here's where I think we should go next, but you call in if you want to go somewhere else. Energy Secretary Wright talks about ending the Green New Scam and the One Big Beautiful Bill. I want to hear that. I imagine you do too.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I have been saying on this program for years that Joe Biden's preventable open borders policies that have allowed in all of these, you know, 12 to 20 million illegals that were unvetted, many of them from countries with terror ties. We know specifically that over 1,500 Iranian nationals illegally entered the U.S. That we know of between ports and entries nationwide. And we know that a whopping, you know, nearly 750 the Biden administration newer Iranian nationals and let them stay in the country. To be specific, the number 729 released by Joe Biden.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. The Who's Pete Townsend is speaking out about the band split with longtime drummer Zach Starkey, calling the situation a mess, adding he will miss Zach terribly. The back and forth began in April when Townsend and the Who frontman Roger Daltrey made a collective decision to part ways with Starkey, who is the son of Beatles drummer Ringo Starr. He joined again days later, only to part ways another time. Starkey explaining that he wasn't fired, but he retired to work on his own projects. Maroon 5 is back with a new album and a U.S. arena tour. The album out August 15th is called Love Is Like. Maroon 5 also announcing 23 dates for a national arena tour, starting this fall, including a hometown show in L.A., before finishing November 25th in Detroit. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quickly here, because we got a great caller on the phone lines. This is Energy Secretary Chris Wright talking about how the One Big Beautiful Bill ends the Green New Scam. Let's roll right into it.
So the bill, it just goes back to sort of common sense on permitting of this. Of course we're going to do environmental reviews and safety reviews. It's just going back to the original intention of permitting. Very critical for the bill. It's going to, again, get rid of these subsidies and distortions that have hurt not just our electricity market, but our broader energy markets. One of the greatest upsides for the United States is to bring industry back to our country. We, in a green delusion, we decided to make it so hard to build things in the United States that instead what happens? We still consume those same products, just now they're built in Asia with a coal-powered electricity instead of natural gas in the United States, and then they're Asian workers, and then we load them on diesel-powered ships and ship it across the ocean and bring it back to the United States and call that green or a climate policy.
Yeah, which is interesting when you think about it. Those same greenies don't want the Crow people to be able to ship their coal from an American port. But they call themselves green, right? Yeah, full audio, go to x.com/Aaron Flint. All right, let's go to Nancy in Roundup before we run out of time. Nancy, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, gang, good morning. A couple of things here. The United States has so many enemies, and you could add Germany, France, and, of course, the European Union to that list. They don't care what happens to our country. They don't, even in this conflict in the Middle East with Israel, they've turned their backs completely on us, so don't trust them. And I just want to say, I'm old enough to remember when the Shah of Iran was overthrown, his government was overthrown by these 7th century barbaric Islamists, and he and his wife and his 3 children had to flee for their life. They were given sanctuary here in the United States. And it was such a chaotic time. And but what I want to stress here is maybe it's time, after so many hundreds and thousands of years, that the Middle East and Israel be allowed to just, if they think the answer is obliterating one another, just blowing one another apart, is the answer to all their problems, maybe it's time to just let them do it. Let's withdraw our 40,000 troops, bring them back home, or put them somewhere else in the world, and hap at it. Let them go at it. And when the gun smoke settles, we'll pick up what few survivors will be left. I mean, let's face it, Aaron. We have tried everything. Negotiating. We have bent over backwards. The whole world has. And nothing has helped solve the issues between the Middle East and Israel. This wound is so...
Well, that's why some people think...
Right now, I don't...
Yeah, that's why some people think, let Israel finish the job against these suicidal bomber terrorists in Tehran. Let them finish the job. We don't need to be in the middle of it. Yeah, Nancy, great to hear from you. I appreciate hearing your thoughts. Yeah, it's crazy, too, when you talk about the fall of the Shah. That happened before I was even born, which means these terrorists in Tehran have been attacking the United States of America and our troops longer than I've been alive. And finally, Donald J. Trump did something about it in a major way. Nancy, great to hear from you. Hey, I'll tell you what, living in Montana, there is so much to see. Think about things even in your own backyard that you've never gotten to visit. We're having so much fun with this Montana Tourism Radio Giveaway, giving you a chance to win a great tourism package right here in your own backyard. This week, we're focused on Missouri River Country. You've got an opportunity to win a tourism package either in Glasgow or in Jordan. And by the way, part of the Glasgow experience includes my favorite Eugene's Pizza. But yeah, you can go check out places like the CMR National Wildlife Refuge. Malta, you've got the Great Plains Dinosaur Museum. And then if you keep going to Fort Peck, you've got the Fort Peck Interpretive Center, which has two of the largest freshwater aquariums in Montana. So much to see and do, so much great history. But if you want to win this week's radio giveaway package to Eastern Montana, the Missouri River Country, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us have lived through the huge changes in the way we get news and information. Where we once read the back of cereal boxes at breakfast, we now thumb our way through comics on our smartphones. And while the national audiences for some news channels has dropped below 1 million, the hits and views on podcasts and online platforms have never been higher. The business model for what is now called legacy news media has changed as well. Once those places got most of their money from large advertisers who craved their audiences. Now many of those organizations have turned to subscribers to remain financially viable. These changes have had more impact on the content than you might appreciate. The need to get approval from your subscribers for your content or to avoid alienating those who pay the bills helps to explain the slants on coverage that are all around us. And the respect for those who service that content, currently just 28% of Americans say that journalism benefits society, has taken a hit as well. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.